Hey there, this is Jenny Chen. I'm the founder of 3D Heels. Welcome to the Lattice podcast, the official podcast for 3D Heels. This is where you will find fun but in-depth conversations with technological game changers, creative minds, entrepreneurs, rule breakers, and more, focusing on how we can use 3D technologies like 3D printing and bioprinting to reinvent healthcare and even life sciences. This podcast will also include AMA, or Ask Me Anything sessions, past Instagram live interviews with influencers, and other direct engagements with our tribe. Thanks for joining us, guys, today. First of all, I want to introduce Adam and Alex. They are the co-founders for this product design, or just design studio in general, located in New Jersey. And it's a relatively young company, but I got to know them because I saw quite a few really interesting projects they've done on Instagram. So the point of this live interview really is to reveal who are the authors behind these amazing products on Instagram. At the same time, engage with our audience. So for those of you who are watching this, feel free to enter your comments and questions, and or just say hi. And I heard a couple already in the comment section, so welcome. So Adam, Alex, I think I want to start with a story first. I want you to tell us how you guys met and how Dive Design became a reality.
I guess I'll
start. Adam, I have to say, you have some sound issues. That's a problem.
Can you touch more?
Maybe closer.
Let's see.
Is your internet good?
How's this?
Yeah. Okay. Slightly better. Let's go for it.
All right. I'll just hold the phone. I think it was the microphone getting covered. Alex and I met in college. We were both studying industrial design at Jefferson University in Philadelphia. And early on, we started to do a lot of design competitions together. We were very excited about competing and pushing the boundaries. And we began to win a few. We worked on a bunch of projects together. And then throughout our college experience, we were doing a lot of freelance. We were both working with local startups in Philadelphia. We'd done internships at some design firms in New York and California. And we just got very excited very early on. And we decided, let's join forces. You know, instead of working individually on projects, let's work with our friends and our network, all the other designers in the program, to start helping out these local companies. And we just absolutely loved it. We were working with medical device startups, doing devices for senior citizens. We were doing survival tools. We were doing really anything that was in the community and people needed help getting things off the ground. And through that, we really just built our network, incorporated, became official, not just kind of freelancers with benefits. And, you know, we graduated and moved into Alex's basement to start. At that point, I think it was very early at that point that we had met Bionic Pets, who we do a lot of work with now. And we quickly realized, you know, we should probably be in an actual space if we're meeting with clients and beginning production of these prosthetics. And that was about a year and a half ago. We moved out of the basement.
Awesome. Well, congratulations for the move. In your company website, you said you guys have a unique angle. Would you like to share with us why you are different? How do you differentiate yourself from the other product designers?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's about like 200 and some odd other firms in the US, and the way we really differentiate ourselves and the way our clients really gain a lot of insight is through our phase one, which is our research and discovery phase. And really what that allows us to do is understand the market that we're going to be designing for, understanding the opportunities for the product that our clients are looking to develop, and understanding the best move forward and how to best develop a product based on that insight. And so basically what we're doing is we're minimizing risk for our clients by giving them all this insight and then designing around that insight rather than just making assumptions and hoping those assumptions work out. So our clients seem to gain a lot of valuable feedback from that, and that's really been our differentiating factor. Not to mention some of the really cool prosthetics that we work on that really has set us out there and gained a lot of traction.
Yeah, and we really like to apply that perspective to everything that we work on. We're not just developing consumer products, helping to create businesses and brands and, you know, help companies reconsider how they can have an impact. And we apply that same strong foundation to understand what's out there, what's working, what's not working. And then it's an iterative process. It's trial and error. It's testing. And that's how we found the best results from consumer products to animal prosthetics and businesses.
Yeah, sometimes I forget that product design is not just about making things that work, but also it is a brand that speaks for itself. So I know that you guys have quite a few really cool cases. So maybe you can show us what these are and then talk about, you know, use an example of how you guys work with the clients and how do you make things work for them.
Yeah. So would you like us to focus on like a traditional product development or do you want us to talk about the prosthetics?
Sure.
Okay. So I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a large company who's already got a few products out in the market and they're looking to kind of reinvigorate some of their lineup. They want to really stand out from the crowd. What we'll do is we'll step in and we'll say, okay, let's go take a look at the market. Let's actually understand what the competitors are doing, who they are, what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, and where you fit in that mix. And let's go out to the market and also talk to them and understand what are the opportunities, what are things you wish you had in this type of a product, or what are things that you don't really need in this type of a product. And from that insight, we'll actually start doing our preliminary design and we'll start sketching out really cool concepts. We'll have our powwows. We'll start doing those early stage foam models and mock-ups, 3D printing those mock-ups, and getting a sense of feel, scale, ergonomics. And then we'll start refining it. We go into our refinement process. We're testing out mechanisms and motors if they're applicable, electronics. We're refining the form, and that's when we're moving into our detailed design phase. And so that continues on down this funnel until we get to a solidified product design form, all of that. And we've got all the details ready to go off to manufacturing. That's a very quick look at what a product lifecycle might look like.
Yeah, and it's actually very similar for the animal prosthetics. It's basically the same exact process. You know, it's not just, the goal isn't just production, it's designing new solutions. The reason we teamed up with Bionic Pets was to push the boundaries, right? They were doing production by hand of a lot of devices. And then they had a lot of cases that they couldn't help. Either they didn't have time or the resources to experiment. And what we do is experiment. That is product design. So what we do is, you know, when we have a new case come in, something that hasn't been done before, it's an exciting thing. You know, we get to go through the steps of looking at what's been tried, what the requirements of the animal are, what the requirements of the owner are. Does it have to be easy to get on? Does it have to be very secure? Every animal and user has different needs. From there, we begin to visualize, experiment. We recently started using things like virtual reality to come up with new designs. We can take a scan of an animal, and then we can design in 3D in VR to be able to rapidly try different configurations. We can then print those out, test them, and in the end, we have something that's never been done before in a pretty short timeline. I mean, the same time it takes to make by hand, we can do completely custom with digital processes.
I think we could we can unpack that too a little bit. I think Adam really hit the nail on the head there. But the reason that we were able to uncover this opportunity is when we met with Derek, the founder of Bionic Pets, we found out that the process to make one of these full-limb prosthetics, which is something that I think a lot of people have seen, was so labor-intensive, it was cost-intensive, and it was material-intensive, and therefore didn't really warrant it to be an existing product. And so we were able to come in and kind of look at the market and say, all right, well, there really is nothing out there. You're really kind of pushing the boundaries here, but it just doesn't make feasible sense. How can we make sense of this? And how can we make this a repeatable process that is still custom to every animal? And so, as he alluded to, you know, that's what that process looked like for us. And so we tried a ton of different scanning apps. We tried different scan tools. We tried different rectifying softwares, and then in the end started developing our own because that was the only way forward to do mass manufacturing on a customized scale.
Awesome. So yeah, one question I have about your work with Bionic Pets. Okay. One question I have about your work with Bionic Pets is what were the exact deliverable that you guys delivered? Was it software or just a process?
Yeah. So in the beginning, the goal was how do we enable the full limb prosthetics that they're making by hand to be more feasible, right? A full limb prosthesis for a dog missing the entire limb, there's nothing to mount to. They they have to create some sort of vest or jacket to attach to the torso to then mount the limb. But to make one of those by hand is pretty extensive. It's lots and lots of plaster, and the molds would weigh like 70 pounds. We would have to take those to our studio for testing, and we could barely lift them up the stairs. So, you know, they're doing tons of these every week, but at a certain point, they had to start restricting the amount of orders they could take on just because of how long they took to make, like 15, 20 hours per unit, when the smaller ones you could do, you know, multiple in an hour. So it was really slowing things down, but it was something that was really needed. There was no other solution for animals missing an entire limb. So at that point, we came in, and the goal was, how do we optimize this, right? How do we make this a more efficient process? In the process, you know, you're also affecting the product. So we looked at everything. We started by looking at how they were taking molds. Previously, they were wrapping the dog and then filling it with plaster to get the negative. We switched that over to 3D scanning. So we either 3D scan the mold of the dog or we 3D scan the dog itself. Then there was the question of design, right? How do you design each one of these custom and not have it take hours and hours to cut and measure? And if something doesn't fit right, you know, having to do everything from scratch. So we created a design algorithm. So it's something that takes the scan. It creates the trim lines automatically. It adds the thickness where we want thickness. It adds the lattice where we need breathability. And it does all of that automatically so that somebody's not there making all those decisions design by design, right? A lot of it is automated from a scan. And then from there, it's, well, how do you make it? You know, we have these intricate features to make things more repeatable. We can't mold them with plastic, so we looked at 3D printing. We explored every material, and we have a whole bin of all the different materials we tried, but it's an iterative process. You know, the first one didn't work, so we tried everything else. Just about. And we finally found TPU is an amazing material. It's so versatile. It's actually used in dog toys because it is biocompatible. It's, you know, can be chewed, it can be bent, it can't be torn, anything like that. So we're able to create rigid areas where we need structure, and then we can create flexible areas where we need the flexibility.
And when you say we tried everything, we tried everything. We had people sending us materials to try. We were getting things from overseas. And we just so happen to have like a little scrap TPU that laying around that I don't even know where we got that from. And we were like, let's just try this, because we were kind of at the end of the road, and it was like the end all be all. It was the material that we were looking for all along.
So. Yeah. So, you know, it was a process, very experimental. You know, the hope was just, hey, what can we do to make this better? And in the end, it was a workflow, and it was a new product and production process. It's, you know, it's a lot more accessible now. It doesn't require one person who's been trained in animal prosthetics the past 20 years. It can be, you know, whoever we train to run the software and the printer. So, it's an all around more efficient process, and the product is actually, seen more success because we can do more iterations, because it's easier to customize. We're having better outcomes, and we're having to replace them less often.
Yeah.
Right. Previously, once you set the alignment of the leg, you can't really change it. Well, now we're designing new accessories and joints to make things adjustable. The product's lighter, it's more flexible. So all around, it's really improved things.
So just to jump back to your original question, the original deliverable was like a way to make this feasible. And it was a bit broad, but that was our mission, was to figure out how this could be feasible. And what Adam just spoke through was exactly how we did that. You know, it was not just the process, it was how it was going to be made. It was the material, it was the iterations, and all that kind of came together. And that's, you know, how we created these full limb prosthetics that we now 3D print. Now, originally, we were going to pass this on to Bionic Pets, but they were really enthralled with how our process was set up here, and they trusted us enough to take on these orders and manufacture them in-house, which has been a lot of fun. And we've learned so much by being able to do that here. I don't think we would have gotten that if it was the other way around.
Yeah, I saw that you guys don't just do dog legs now, that you also have other animal prosthetics as well.
Yeah.
Once we
figured out the process for the dogs for that one product, well, then the sky was the limit, right? Anything that comes in that they can't immediately do, that they don't have a process for, we get to either play around with in terms of finding a new solution or applying the existing workflow because it's so flexible. A random example we have here is this prosthetic foot or leg for a duck. This is for Waddles the duck, and it was just amazing how this came out. They sent us an alginate mold. It's more like a plaster mold of the limb, and we sculpted this up and sent it out. And the first try, the duck just took off running. It was just the most amazing thing.
And this was on camera too. This is on their first season of the TV show that they're filming. So for us to sit back and have to wait 6 months to see it, it was like, oh man, that was awesome.
Yeah. So this was an awesome little example of, you know, something like this, flexible, so precise, just isn't possible with the current tools. Somebody would have to sculpt this out of like rubber to do this. You know, it just doesn't make sense. But with the digital workflow, we can very quickly and easily work with the scan and create something custom like this. And then other examples, we did some carts for pigs. Again, it's the same process, except we actually scanned the pig, which was interesting. They had to hold it under the armpits. And we should have been wearing earplugs. Pigs are very loud. But again, the same process, bringing it into the algorithm, creating that shell, adding the mount where we needed it, and then incorporating the adjustable, incorporating the adjustable joints that Julio, who's commenting now, helped us to create. It just enables that adjustability, right? We put it on the first time and the pig started to fall back. And we're like, all right, we got to tilt it forward. So we adjusted it right on the spot. Previously, you'd have to take it back to Virginia and make a new one.
Yeah.
So it's just been amazing, the versatility that's been able to build into these.
One that we definitely want to mention is something that you're going to see on TV in a couple months, and we can't show it because it's no longer here, but we designed a cart for a tortoise. Now, this was a really fun challenge for not only us, but our intern, Julio, who's on right now. The tortoise has to lay on its shell at night. They don't actually go back into their shell, so their head rests on the ground along with their arms. And the current cart was just this glued rod to the bottom of the shell, and so they would have to like peel it off every night and like re-glue it on in the morning. And so we designed this jacket similar to what you see on the dogs for the lower half of his shell, and then we designed these two wheels that were able to swing out during the day and then swing up at night so he could rest on his shell. And that was super cool. It's a perfect example of how we integrated a custom component into the existing algorithm that we had for the dogs. And you guys will get to see that on Wizard of Paws Season 2. I think there's a preview out for it now, but definitely check that out. That's going to be
really cool. Awesome. I see a lot of fans here. Just shout out to everybody who said you guys were just the best. I would sum it up like that. But so you obviously have a group of fans. Now the question is, can we expand this knowledge, this design that's already working for some animals to a much larger population, perhaps other companies or veterinarians who want to use it? Can other people request you guys to manufacturing similar prosthetics for them?
Yeah, absolutely. We get people all the time reaching out with questions. We were just talking with a group out in New Mexico today. They're making a cart for a bunny missing its rear legs. And we're always collaborating with people, you know, sharing some of the tools that we use, some of the processes. There's a vet, I think he's in the Ukraine, that will, you know, suggest materials for. So we're always happy to give advice. I mean, there's so many animals out there that need help, and so many people in the world doing amazing things. And, you know, if people want the products that we make specifically, we do everything through Bionic Pets. You know, they can go to bionicpets.org if you want to place an order for something. It doesn't matter where you are. We've done, we shipped
all
a few to Germany last week, South
Spain.
Africa. So we're shipping everywhere.
I got to do those invoices today. You know, the other thing too that we're also working on is figuring out how can we take this out of our office and help put this in other people's hands and still have the quality control that we have that leaves our office and Bionic Pets office. So that's one of the biggest challenges we have here is we have a lot of people that are in other countries and say, I want to be able to offer this because it's so expensive to ship something overseas. How can we make this work? So we're in the process of thinking through how we could expand this and be able to offer this to a wider variety of people, but still maintain that quality that we have to have when it leaves the shop. And I think that's the biggest fear we have is, you know, people not putting in the amount of effort that we do to make these right. But, you know, I think if we put all the right things in place, it's definitely possible. So if anyone's interested in helping us grow that, let us know.
Yes. We will share the video and hopefully more people will watch this and reach out to you guys. The other questions earlier during the conversation, someone asked, what are some of the tools that you use? Like, what do you have any recommendations for 3D scanners or 3D printers? And maybe even some commercial software?
Yeah. So I think something that's been game-changing is the new iPhone, right? All the iPhone 10 and newer have a scanner. You can use that scanner to 3D scan anything. So in some scenarios where a casting kit is just going to be too challenging, like, for example, this bunny that's out in New Mexico, it's so small, but the iPhone scanner is very high resolution. So we just have somebody download an app, and they can use their phone to take a scan. That's it. We have all the dimensions, everything that we need right there that we can work off of. You can use it for anything. So that's been huge. And then free tools like Mesh Mixer. This Duckfoot, for example, we did entirely in Mesh Mixer, which is a free tool. So it doesn't take, you know, it's the complex paid software to do something that really helps an animal.
The one disclosure we have to make, though, is that Derek, the certified ONP, is alongside this the whole way. You know, we're not just taking guesses with this. We're making sure that the fit's going to be proper, the angle's going to be right, and we're not putting torque in the wrong places. So that's one thing that we always have to make sure of.
Yeah, always consult with some, whether it's a vet or a practitioner, whoever it might be, always try to have that extra insight because you definitely don't want to do more harm than good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to mention that not everybody knows how to use Mesh Mixer like a pro. Right. So this is where product designers and industry designers come in, because you already know how to use these tools and make sure things are accurate. I think in one of our previous conversations, we talked about, can you expand your current knowledge and experiences into the human side? Because it seems like we still have a lot of needs in all corners of the world for prosthetics and other things too. We talk about performance sports, that you talked a little bit about some of the projects.
Absolutely, and we can show some examples actually if you want to hold this up. So this is, just to give an example, like this is a cart that we're working on right now. So you have the custom jacket, you have the custom joints and on the wheels so that everything can be articulated. So, you know, it's things like this, enabling this modularity, enabling something that is printed out of just regular old TPU. I mean, you can get this on Amazon. We'd be confident, you know, throwing this out the window and it's surviving, right? Everything is
multiple times out the window.
Yeah, it's indestructible. The workflow is solid. You know, there's so much potential to take inspiration from this, to leverage this, to solve other problems. There's, you know, so many products that are custom fit that need to be durable. They need to survive anything. We've actually done, we worked with an amputee, Justin Oliver Davis, out in the UK, and we built feet inspired by the feet we do for the animals for him to go rock climbing. And they were printed on his printer in his living room, and he's still using those out climbing mountains. It's insane. You know, the trick is in the human world, there's a lot more regulations and things move a lot slower. So, you know, we're still learning about all that and trying to see how what we're developing can be useful for more than just animals.
Yeah, that's kind of been the cool part about the animal side of things, is we're kind of setting the expectations as far as how things are supposed to work, what the best outcome is supposed to be. And that's really cool. So there's definitely a lot of weight on our shoulders, but for us, that means a lot. You know, it means that a lot of people have put their trust in us and in Bionic Pets, and for us to be able to be at that forefront and kind of pioneering this has been pretty incredible. And yeah, I do agree that we'll be able to manipulate this into some form of the human side at some point. But again, like, just understanding the regulations, understanding the limitations and requirements is definitely going to be a big hurdle for us. So
right now, most of your projects are focusing on FDM-based manufacturing process. Do you expand to other digital manufacturing process, and not just 3D printing, but other things like CNC? And
yeah, definitely.
On the animal side, I don't think we've branched too far outside of 3D printing. We haven't really needed to. On the product design side, we're CNCing things, we're injection molding things, we're doing just about anything. But we are looking at multiple types of 3D printing on the animal side. Like this, for example, This is a protective sock almost for a duck with a foot deformity. So the foot was continually deteriorating, and it was developing ulcers. So we created, using Formlabs resin, this really high precision, breathable sock to protect the limb. And then another printing technology, we actually just got a new printer. It is FDM, but it's a different type of FDM. It's called high flow extrusion. Okay. So this is something we just printed yesterday. It printed this massive, this is actually a lampshade, in about just over 2 hours.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
Yeah, it does about 2 pounds of plastic. Yeah, it's pretty big. It does about 2 pounds of plastic in an hour, which is just unheard of for FDM. Yeah. So we're going to be hopefully doing some much larger animals very soon. We have a 3-foot build capacity now. So we're really excited to push the potential of this type of printing.
Yeah, I think, you know, just jumping off of that, there's a lot within FDM that still hasn't been uncovered. There's still so many opportunities. And I think you can say that about any printing style, but it's very accessible for us as a grassroots startup. And so being able to leverage that and really push it to its limits has been a lot of fun. And so now having a high flow in our shop has been fun. It's been tiresome. There's a lot of learning and things that we're doing here just because there isn't that information out yet. You know, we're kind of pioneering this alongside Filament Innovations. So
yeah, and if you want to see pictures and videos of the new printers and of the animals, you can go to our Instagram. I see somebody asking.
Yeah,
we have everything on there. We're clearly very excited about the new printer, so we've been posting about it a lot. It's just something that hasn't been really explored very much. It's a very unique type of extruder, and we're very excited and thankful to be able to have access to it.
Yeah, definitely. But yes, to answer your question again, like, we definitely use a lot of different processes. Adam showed you the sock that we did for one of the duck socks, and we've tried SLA, we've tried a lot of different methods. And again, a lot of it falls on the product development side, which is how we became so familiar with it. But again, just on the animal side, it's so easy for us to rapidly prototype things using FDM. And we become very, very good at TPU. We're almost, we tag ourselves as like the TPU specialists a lot of the time, just because we've dialed in every possible setting you can for every type of shore hardness. And it's a really great material. So if you guys are out there, you're listening and you haven't tried it yet, and you have the ability to, definitely give it a shot. There's thousands of different types out there, and it's an incredible material.
Awesome. And we have a couple of minutes left. I just want to talk a little bit about your company. I saw in your bio that you've grown by 372% in 2020. First of all, what's the secret behind it? And second, can you beat that number this year?
Oh, I love
it. So real quick, I do have to jump for another meeting, but I'm going to let Alex finish this up. He'll get into that. He's our business master here. So, but thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to see this. Life. I'll let you take it from here.
Thank you. So I think what we saw last year was very unique. We were very, I wouldn't say worried, but we were very cautious going into the year. Right around June, we were starting to, you know, hunker down a little bit. But I think what we saw is a lot of the people that had been laid off or companies that really needed to reinvigorate their lines of products were saying, we need to outsource, we need to get a fresh perspective. And that's really where we were able to take a step. So we utilized that need, and we targeted it with our marketing, not only with content that we put out alongside the animals, but also our marketing efforts online. And that's really how we were able to do that. And I think that's a key lesson in any business. And we're no experts by any means. You know, we're right out of college here, but being nimble, being able to pivot, understanding that being rigid doesn't help anybody, doesn't help your team, and it doesn't help you. That was like the biggest thing that we took away. And I think a lot of that comes from not being tainted by like typical companies that, you know, students work for out of college. So that was a big reason we were able to hit that number. We do have a big, big goal for this year. And we're hitting our targets so far, which is pretty exciting. And it's nerve wracking, but if you're not nervous about the goal, then what's the point, you know? So,
absolutely.
We're very excited. And like Adam alluded to, we're doing a lot more collaborations this year. We want to get a lot more people involved. We want people to be exposed to this new high flow system that we're bringing out. And I think the biggest thing for us to share is like, just be innovative. You know, if you're feeling stale, if you're feeling stagnant, it's probably the time to start looking at, you know, what the market's looking to move into, what are the interests. And, you know, a lot of times that's where industrial designers are able to fill roles.
Actually, as you're speaking, I've been thinking about a couple of 3D printer manufacturers that I wanted to introduce to you guys to as well.
Awesome.
But if you want to give some shout outs to people and some call to action, this is a great moment to do it now.
Awesome. Okay. So big shout out to our intern, Julio Ira. He's in this chat right now. He's been a huge proponent of helping us develop these components.